Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo. I own a co-working space in Palo Alto, California. I am the executive director of the Global Workspace Association and the founder of Everything Coworking. I am still making the final tweaks on that co-working startup school, and it's not quite ready to launch yet, but getting there. So if you are interested in learning more, go to www.coworkingstartupschool.com and get the full outline. The new version is based on my co-working space validation system. There are 12 steps to that system that get you set up for success when you open your space. In addition to the framework, the course covers marketing, hiring, and the co-working tech stack. And one more thing. Just like reviews are important to co-working spaces, they're super important to podcast hosts as well. So if you enjoy the podcast and would like to help other co-working space operators find this resource, please pop open iTunes and leave a review. Today, my guest is Michelle Bodick, Managing Director of Sales and Marketing for the Americas at Instant Offices. I invited Michelle as a guest on the show because Instant is the company that did the research that told us that 68% of the co-working market is run by independent operators. Woohoo! Instant has a really strong research group that frequently publishes industry data. And I say this a bunch of time in the episodes, but we'll put all the links in the show notes so that you can access their reports easily. As business owners, we all love data that helps us learn more about where we sit in the industry and where things are going to help us make better decisions. Michelle is going to walk through a treasure trove of industry nuggets. So without further ado, let's get started. I'm really excited to be joined by Michelle Bodick today. She is the Managing Director of Sales and Marketing for Instant Offices. She recently presented at a lunch session at the Flex Office Conference that we hosted in Austin with NAOP, and her session was one of the most popular. And you've heard me reference some of the stats from the data that they presented. So I reached out to Michelle and I said, you know, I think that it would be really fun to have you on the podcast and have you run through the data so that the listeners can get a sense of everything that's happening in the marketplace. To me, it's all exciting and positive, especially for independent operators, which is kind of the stat I've been sharing the most. So Michelle agreed to come on and share. Michelle, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me today. I'm excited to be here and chat with your audience about the market and some of the trends we see. So thank you.
Perfect. So share with us, so Michelle is broadcasting out of her home office today in Darien, Connecticut. She works out of Manhattan, but Instant has folks all over the world. We were just talking about her team and the fact that they're distributed and mostly work in co-working spaces. But Michelle, tell us a little bit about you and Instant Offices.
Terrific. Yeah, thank you. So we have a team of about 30 folks in the U.S., but Instant has been in the flex market for over 20 years. And we really have, you know, followed the market, followed the trends, and have been working with not only individual entrepreneurs, but right up through the Fortune 500 companies for many years, helping them access what we'll call the third-party operators in the marketplace. And so we've been doing transactions globally for a number of years. We have the largest listing site in the world of flex spaces. And that gives us a lot of information about what's happening not only in the US, but all around the world, but it also gives us stats and trends. So we can really see city by city, state by state, where the growth is happening. What are some of the market trends? What are some of the differentiators? Obviously, we're tapping into our client base to really follow up and understand how they're interacting with the space and really hopefully provide some interesting, unique information to the market.
So Michelle, just to make sure everybody understands how a shared space would work with you, can you walk through that a little bit? So my space, Enterspace in Palo Alto, is listed with Instant, and we get leads all the time for office space. So you probably do a better job of explaining it. I could pipe in talk about what does it look like to, as a co-working space operator, to work with Instant?
Definitely. So what happens typically is our operators will come and find us, or we have a research team that is looking for spaces opening or operators that are expanding their footprint. So what happens is we will engage with you. We will get your site listed with us, so putting your content onto our website. Our website generates roughly globally around 10,000 leads a month. So
right. 10,000 leads a month. Yes. Yeah. Marketing engine for shared workspace.
Yes, it is. So, yeah. And we really work with our operators to make sure that we're optimizing the content, whether it is a, you know, more traditional co-working or a hybrid space, that we're getting the right market information out there for those locations. So we have the listing site, but we also have a corporate team that works with large organizations or enterprise level organizations that are leveraging Flex as part of their portfolio strategy. So having the information listed with us and really understanding what's becoming available, and even with some of the centers that are opening, we have the ability to really work a little bit more proactively, helping to match our clients with availability of space in the market. So that's how it works. So really, if you're getting the marketing and you're getting access to the instant client base when you listen.
Yeah. So for folks opening spaces, especially if you have team suites, office suites, you know, so think of Instant as a marketing partner. So you have your own website and your own Yelp listings and Google My Business listings, but Instant, as Michelle noted, is getting 10,000 leads for Workspace, and that's globally, but a month. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing a lot of heavy lifting on the marketing front, and they have sales teams that are working with corporate clients that independent spaces will have a hard time reaching. So they're just a great lead generation and marketing partner to work with as you're opening spaces, especially if you have larger spaces and team suites and that kind of thing to fill. So certainly keep that in mind. But anyway, jumping into the insights that you have because of the work that you do in the marketplace, let's dive into that.
Sure. So I think for context for everybody, so Instant really views the market in kind of the umbrella is what we define as the flexible workspace market. But underneath that, we look at it as co-working environments, serviced office or dedicated offices, managed, which is a little bit more of the workspace as a service offering, and then really gray space or surplus space where clients are looking to offload excess capacity. So those are the buckets that we kind of include in the flexible workspace market. There's also incubators, accelerators, which are slightly different. You're not able to buy into those locations, but we do track those from a data purpose. So when we talk about, you know, what's going on in the marketplace, we really look and define the market globally. We see based on industry revenue, this market's about a $26 billion industry. And when you think about what that really means, you're really seeing just a tremendous amount of growth and real potential, because certainly from a U.S. standpoint, the top, you know, eight cities across the U.S. really are those been kind of leading the market. We're starting to see really opportunities in secondary and tertiary cities coming on. So I think the growth will continue. It's not a fad. It's not a blip. You know, we really see this as the next big disruptive opportunity in the real estate market. So we track around 30,000 flexible office centers around the world. Of that 30,000, about 15,000 are true what we would call co-working spaces. And we see really about a 15% per annum growth. So just to kind of put that in a little bit more context, we see about 3 new centers opening around the world every day.
Well, I'm sort of a data nerd, but I also love just sort of putting it into context of like, wow, that's pretty meaningful for our little industry. And I just want to pipe in, because I'm sure if you're driving or walking the dog, you're thinking, how do I see this data that Michelle's talking about? We'll put links to the reports and the slides from the conference in the show notes so that you can access them. So those will be on the everythingcoworking.com website, or I'll link to the report on Michelle's site, but the links will be there so you can access the data.
Terrific. Thank you. And in terms of movement from a U.S. market perspective, we've seen across the U.S. about a 10% increase in new centers. And then of those centers, we've got about 54% of the existing centers are really offering now a co-working space. So, you know, I think the evolution in the way people are interacting, I think they like their dedicated office location where they can come and do work amongst their team members. However, they really enjoy being able to access the community and being able to sit down out in a more dynamic environment and really interact with other members of the community. So we're really starting to see that trend in hybrid spaces and how individuals are using it. From a space standpoint, we're estimating roughly around 80 million square feet of space now amounts in the US now amounts to some type of flex workspace. And obviously, we're going to see that continue to rise. And then from a really interesting fact, when I started Instant 4 years ago, really, we used to see the typical inquiry for flex would be anywhere from 2 maybe to 7 people. And then the tipping point was 7, I'm going to take a lease. That has okay. changed drastically. Now it's roughly the average inquiry for a desk or number of desks is around 20 desks. And really, we're seeing now people really looking 50 to 100 people, and then it's starting to evaluate a lease. So we're really seeing the opportunities grow. We're seeing a lot more corporations come into it. I mean, we always refer to the JLL stat that 30% of corporations are going to be, or 30% of portfolios are going to be flexed by 2030. And I definitely see that trend starting to really come into play pretty effectively now.
Yeah, I think that stat is pretty interesting for our audience. And I think that's, to some extent, you know, we're seeing the evolution of what operators are providing that's kind of mirroring this. Well, I don't know if it's a chicken or egg, but, you know, supply and demand are starting to move towards larger spaces, novel co-working
when you yep.
level office. Yeah. So I toured their space in Denver, and they have suites on floors that have their own meeting rooms and their own, you know, like coffee bar. And so they're really like kind of a little standalone office, but could be perfect for the 20 person or 30 person or, you know, sort of the scaled group that needs some of their own contained space, but still wants that flexibility and the access, to your point, to sort of the dynamic areas in the community that they can still spend time in. So I think it's an interesting strategy to be offering kind of the larger spaces for bigger groups, and exciting to see that demand come down the line.
Definitely. And I think, you know, talking about the more independent operators and the market, when we look across the U.S., we see around 100 companies providing some type of flexible workspace across the U.S. And really an interesting to look at when you look at the kind of U.S. supply by operator, there's still, you know, your Regus, WeWork, Premier, Breather, like you have some major companies that are out there that have a lot of locations and certainly clustering in some major cities. But when you look at the US market, you really have a tremendous amount, almost 70% are really operators that are outside of those major players, and really what we call the indie operators, that is the opportunity. And so when you start to think about from a growth standpoint, I think that's where we're going to continue to see the growth is, you know, individual entrepreneurs come in, there's kind of new franchising models that are coming in. I think outside of the major markets in those secondary and tertiary cities, we're really going to see an increase in supply there. And then demand remains strong as well.
Yeah, this is the stat that I had mentioned on the podcast probably twice now. And I had a call with one of the attendees who's a building owner and runs a co-working space in the building. And he was saying like that was one of the most sort of like optimistic pieces of information that he'd heard at the conference. He was like, you know, it's just good to remember, like, you know, WeWork is not the whole industry. You know, WeWork is actually only 3% on your slide. I love this slide.
Yeah.
So for him, it was just like, right, you know, we're all, you know, we can do this and we can be successful and find our own place in the market and, you know, to see that continue to grow. And I think somebody had posted either this stat or a similar one on LinkedIn, and Lucia Diana from Verizon, who works in corporate real estate in Verizon, she commented, she always comes to the conference. I love her. She's a great supporter. Yeah. And she said, yeah, we need more locations in smaller markets because their people live everywhere, right? Their people don't only live in Manhattan. So the corporations are trying to put people near where they live. That's part of the point, right?
Absolutely. And I think, look, when you're thinking about the whole market, and we're talking about in our world, the flex space that really is, you know, the kind of combination of office plus hybrid. But when you really look at it from the entire flexible workspace market, including co-working, you're at 93% of the country's operators are indies. And that is a huge stat. So I think the message really is for operators, if you are considering opening, obviously location is still really important, making sure the demand is there, obviously making sure you structure your deal properly. But the opportunity for growth is really strong. And I think if you can really deliver excellent customer service and build your community in the right way, you can be very successful in this type of a business model.
Perfect.
So I think, you know, just kind of moving on, you know, and again, city by city, and I've put some stats on a slide that everybody can access post the podcast, but in different locations, so New York and Chicago, Houston, LA, you know, San Francisco, again, you still see a lot of the bigger operators out there with the WeWorks, and certainly New York, WeWork has now come on as the largest leaseholder in Manhattan. But in terms of number of locations, and this is a slide that is available to everybody, but number of locations between Breather and Regus and WeWork, and obviously size and scale, I'm not looking at square feet right now, but the other category, again, of the indie operators is still significant. And so I think making sure that you're listing with us and, you know, listing with others as well to make sure you're getting your brands out there so people know what your offering is. If you can be flexible in terms or, you know, flexible with the design, whatever it may be, I think there's really an opportunity available because people are really looking for choice and to find the right location that really matches to their brands and the environment that they want their employees in and what they're trying to represent to their clients if they're using that space as sales meeting space or touchdown or whatever it may be, or even, you know, a satellite office. So I think the opportunity really is there, and, you know, the demand remains really strong. And we see that through a lot of our data, certainly on the Google search trends for, you know, flexible office types of terminology, demand continues to go up. And I think another interesting fact for certainly a lot of the owner operators out there is the stat around the demand and the signing and length of term. So, you know, historically, we saw in, you know, early 2015, 16, 17, the term was 12 months or less was really the average. Now we're starting to really, since, you know, 2016, 17, we're really starting to see companies making a longer term commitment. So, you know, again, it's a little less than 10% now of terms that are 18 months plus. I think we'll continue to see that demand and gradually shift upward in not only the size of requirements, but in the length of term for companies. So I think that's another really good, positive, strong stat. We're going to see more stability and kind of less disruption in terms of, you know, the movement of companies in and out.
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to, Michelle and I were talking before we started recording. Michelle was just at the Cornet conference and mentioned that co-working was really kind of main stage this year. And Cornet is the conference for kind of more corporate occupiers, so enterprise users of space who would traditionally sign a lease. And I would guess, you know, these are the folks who are saying, yeah, we'll take, you know, 20 desks for 18 months because we know in this market, we're always going to need that, even if our employee base kind of flexes a little bit and comes in and out. But, you know, we see corporate occupiers start to make flexibility a bigger part of their strategy, which is happening slowly, but over time, they'll take more space and for longer term because, and Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of my perception is like they want predictability. So they want flexibility, but they're not trying to move people from space to space, you know, every few months. They want to kind of, you know, find a good space that they feel like is a good fit for their culture and make that an option over time.
Yes, completely agreed. And certainly the larger corporations don't want to be moving, you know, 50 to 100 people around frequently. You know, it's really about finding a place where they like and where they can grow with them. So I think, you know, just kind of talking a little bit about the corporate occupier and what they're looking for. We did a research report that we published early this year in conjunction with HLW, where we looked at over 400 respondents that are individuals that were engaged in some type of co-working or flexible workspace. And it really came in from a mix of users. So whether it was commercial real estate folks and developers, landlords, we got a nice blend through this really comprehensive questionnaire. The interesting fact, one of the stats I really enjoyed and kind of came out of that is 83% of the users of co-working claim to have really benefited from working in those environments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it was greater flexibility or expanding their professional network or potentially creating connections for business opportunity, they even found greater levels of energy and innovation in those spaces. I think that's really an interesting stat. So when you're thinking about, you know, what is going on in your space, what's the community about attracting a corporation in, or, you know, corporates looking to attract and engage talent, Flex is really, and it should be viewed, and I think they're really seeing it as a strategic part of their portfolios now. You know, if you're a big banking environment and you have a creative team, do you really want your creative team in the traditional corporate world, or do you want to give them choice and put them in an environment that might be a little bit more creative and free flow and map up those individuals performing that particular role? So I think you're going to kind of continue to see users of FlexSpace report that they really see it positively affecting the way they engage with their work and engage with their employees and colleagues. And I thought another kind of interesting stat, again, around the buyers of space. Obviously, good amenities are critical, and they really want to have, you know, great Wi-Fi and good security and 24-hour access and all of those wonderful things. But what I really thought was interesting about brand specifically, 50% of the enterprise buyers were buying some type of flex workspace, felt that incorporating elements of their brand is much more important feature of using that space versus the brand of the particular operator. So I think that's one of the key things where operators and companies working together can really create those environments, whether it's some level of customization or being able to do signage within their space, whatever it may be. But it's just that kind of one little nuance that, you know, how do you create the best situation to really attract and retain those longer term relationships?
I love that insight. And that was on one of my kind of follow-ups to ask is, you know, from your perspective, since this is mostly an operator audience, you know, is there anything unexpected that you think the sort of corporate audience is looking for in space? And I think the signage is an important one because that's the design consideration that you want to think about ahead of time as you're designing space. You know, to your point, where are the signage opportunities? How do you kind of design that in so that it, you know, both brands can kind of simultaneously exist? Maybe the signage is in the meeting room so that when the companies have guests, or it's just a, you know, a cultural thing and the company wants their employees to sort of not forget where they work and who they're connected with. And so, you know, where can those opportunities be weaved in, and not thinking of it as sort of an opposing brand to, you know, what you're trying to create, but a way to help, you know, help members stay connected to their own companies. Is there anything else that was kind of surprising or that you'd mentioned kind of along those lines?
I don't think surprising. I think some of the key things, I mean, certainly for the employees, a lot of the employees really find some of the most valuable features, potentially, obviously the 24-hour access and really good internet, but having the opportunity to create their own office layout and working with the providers to do that. They love outdoor space. They like the networking ability, the fitness suite potentially, or access to that. Obviously, security or secure lockers for their spaces, or, you know, locks and kind of in and out access is good as well. You know, interestingly, friendly came up. And I think you're going to start to see kind of the ranking of those shift. But it's about really good service and the amenities that are combined that, you know, can be differentiators depending upon what type of environment you're creating for your end users.
Yeah. And I also, too, wonder how much of a contrast your environment is to their sort of home office or what they're used to. I love, you know, I have sort of the passion for health and wellness, and this list has, you know, outdoor space and showers are in the top five, which surprised me a little bit. I love that. And that's, you know, so important for sort of physical and mental well-being. And also, again, good to know from the outset that these are sort of, you know, coming out on top as you're thinking about spaces you choose and what amenities to include. And yeah, that fitness suite is right up there as well, and bike storage. Also, as we start to move into smaller markets, like I don't know how many people have dogs in Manhattan, you know, but certainly our space is pet friendly. People who are used to working at, you know, Google and Facebook, like that's just part of their culture. So we make it so, but also we're more suburban. So people are, you know, have dogs and walk around the neighborhood with them and, you know, are getting more used to being able to take them to work.
Look, I think, you know, we're asking people to commute longer. We're asking people to, you know, work longer hours. You are on call. You know, our technology has given us that ability to, you know, work mobily, which is great. But it also, you know, comes with, again, you're expected to be there and engaged and do what you need to do. So I think having that kind of work-life balance and being able to help promote that within your space, it's great. And obviously, a lot of companies are looking at that wellness element for their employees. So I think that's where you're starting to see an outdoor space and having good light in their offices and, you know, all of those wonderful things that really kind of help create a really good, positive work environment for their staff. So I think kind of the one thing that I think is out there that we haven't really seen yet come to play as the, we'll still call it in its infancy, but how are landlords really responding to the demand? And I think you're starting to see the landlords really come in and explore. So you've seen, I think there was an announcement that Tishman Speyer is now in the space. They've launched Studio. So they're doing their own type of environment. I think you're going to start to see more of that. Obviously, we have Blackstone invest in the office group. So, you know, I think a matter of time before we start to see those individuals expanding and really kind of moving forward. And then we've got, you know, Brookfield with Convene. So there are a lot of discussions and explorations and testing, I'll call it, going on. But I do think landlords really are looking at, you know, they understand it's going to impact them and they really need to get their arms around it. I'm not sure that they're actually set up to be able to deliver it effectively. So a lot of companies are right now in the process of trying to figure out, you know, who do they partner with that's going to be reflective of their brand and their existing occupiers to be able to operate and run a flexible space within their group. And I do think, you know, that building of the future that has the amenity element and is really incorporating the hospitality is going to be the next big thing. But I think we're very early stages. You know, I do think that this is going to be the next kind of level of disruption coming in as the landlords try to figure out what they're doing and how they're going to execute.
Yeah, a lot more exciting developments happening here. And even I think this is another piece, we won't spend too much time on this because this is a whole rabbit hole we could go down, but talking about those secondary, tertiary markets, seeing landlords that want to get engaged because they, you know, it's sort of even a little purpose driven for them to provide something like this in a community that is underserved, you know, with flexible space and someone creating a meaningful community for people to go work in. So I think that'll be exciting to watch.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And look, and I think the other kind of thing that it leads into is, you know, in terms of, you know, what does the future look like? You know, we're really looking and seeing nicheification, whether it's all women or biotech or fintech companies emerging. I think we will see some consolidation coming. You know, at some point there will be a market adjustment. And if you are not running profitably or depending upon your lease structures, I think there will be opportunities there for some companies. We'll continue to see, I think, more globalization of partners in the market where if my company is traveling, we have relationships that people can really use operators across the world and it's the same type of experience and whether that's delivered through a single platform or partnerships, I think that is coming. You know, some of the consolidation of supply chain and really buying at workspace as a service, any whether the landlords are going to deliver that or whether that's delivered by companies, and obviously we do that. But that I think is one of the ways that I think we'll see that kind of next level. How do I buy my office space on demand in a slightly different environment of consolidated supply chain? And then I think we'll see, you know, again, more technology coming into play. I think you will see, again, some more aggregation of outsourced solutions and, again, more digital platforms. Can you really get to a place where that you know, pay per use type of environment? So I think all of those things are being explored. I think a lot of companies are doing a great job investing and testing this. And obviously Instant is here tracking and, you know, obviously we're on top of the market from a market rate perspective and who's coming in. But obviously we're tracking a lot of these trends around the world globally as well.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you, Michelle. And I'll include this link in the show notes as well. But Instant Offices delivers reports and research, kind of they're constantly producing really great content. And it's, you know, it's partly because they have access to the market insights and transactions that, you know, are kind of unique given the business that they do. And they try to break them down into usable insights on their blog. So I'll make sure to include a link to that. So if you are kind of a data industry nerd or are looking for stats and things to support, you know, investor decks or things that you're doing or just stay on top of the trends, you can take a look at that. So I will put links. I know Michelle went through a lot of details that are kind of hard to digest. Either you love the audio or you want to see the visual. So I'll definitely include the links in the show notes for everything that Michelle went through today and links to the Instant blog. And I'll make sure Michelle gives me anything else we should connect to Instant related. Michelle, thank you so much for sharing your insights today. Really appreciate
you
walking through the content. And I don't like to reproduce conference content because I want people to want to go to the conference, but I thought this stuff was really good and you guys do great work on the research front. So thank you for the work that your company does and for sharing it with us.
Well, thank you for having me and happy to come back anytime.
I was going to say, we'll definitely have you as a repeat guest next time you release some new research. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.